Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Start things off.
Go along, yes.
Bloody hell. All right, Auntie, Jesus Christ. BBW is only a kink is because men haven't got the balls to admit to their friends they're like bigger women.
I agree. That's literally like my emblem. That's my mission statement.
I just thought it'd be good for a guy to say that out loud. So yeah.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. I really appreciate that comment, bruv.
On the same token, I was just listening to some old school R&B and I remembered a group called Men at Large. I don't know if you remember them. They sang a song called Use Me. But I just remembered that Men at Large, who are very big men who are R&B singers, once did a video in a supermarket where they threw food at a skinny woman. And I love it. I got to love it.
Wait, was one of them in Police Academy?
No, but I know who you're talking about. It's not him. He's about the same size. Always get them confused. Yeah, but no, it wasn't him. But I love the fact that... And she, it wasn't like throw food like food. It was like they put her in a basket and they put her in there with food. Like they were going to basically shop and food and feed her. And I love the energy.
Well, that'd be but a hate welcome. Crime.
I mean, to me... I think it'd be a hate crime when the car declines because I'd be like grabbing more stuff.
Well,
putting it in my top.
Well, to be fair, it was the early 90s. The rules didn't count then, so it's fine.
Exactly.
True that. Welcome to And That's Why We Messed Up, the podcast, talking about nerdery, geekism, and all else in between from a South London postcode. I am one of the awesome hosts, Shanners. Next to me is the instant classic. Wow, you're right. What one?
Just thought I'd try something different.
Okay. That's a bit Sesame Street, that. Big man. Booger Red.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Mm-hmm. I hope everyone is well and keeping safe out there today.
Yes, indeed. This week's topic, it's funny, it's kind of linked to Brub's topic last time. We were talking about, you know, being able to have discussions and conversations and stuff and having stances. So my one was about guilty pleasures. Mm-hmm. This is my topic this week. I want to talk about it. And I'm going to start by saying, I don't believe in guilty pleasures. I feel like sometimes it's a lot of elitism with the things that we're into. And I think I've seen it more so of late with a lot of stuff that's come out, you know, with Marvel. And there's like kind of like gatekeeping and... If you like film, you can only like these films because these are the highbrow films. The other ones are lowbrow. And I just kind of want to have a discussion with you guys about guilty pleasures in TV and in movies and everything, really. And that I don't actually believe in them. I just think you can like what you like and like some crappy stuff, you know, that may not be top tier. What do you guys think?
I totally agree. End of episode. Let's go home. Okay, fine. One more in
but
depth.
Thank
Jesus
you
Christ.
For.
You know what I mean? Probably our longest episode. Well, thank you for stepping
up. I think we should do a short episode. What can I say? You know, I think we should break a record for the shortest episode of the year. You know? No, I'm joking.
thank you. So the socials aren't that joking.
There's not much. There's not actually, I gotta say not much. There's not anything I wouldn't say I don't watch and be okay with it, or I do watch, or would be ashamed to say I wouldn't watch it. No, it's like, I think I'm growing out of that. Like, obviously, as you grow older, you're told that obviously you're supposed to grow out of these things, but clearly not, because we can attest, our dad still watches Ben 10, for God's sake, and the man's almost in his 70s, so. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I still watch my cartoons. I still watch my kids' films. I still have love for Power Rangers. I will occasionally watch the current Power Rangers when I feel nostalgic, and see how bad it's gotten. Mm. FYI, it's gotten pretty bad. I'm not gonna lie, you know.
Are you okay?
I don't want to talk about it, but I'm just saying, okay. You know.
Okay, it's fine. It's a safe space, and we're here for you.
But I will say, they have some really good theme songs now. I gotta say,
they got good theme songs now.
Yeah, it's like because they use the original one, but they just remix it. It's like, you know, I might play some for you later because I like something like there's one that kind of breaks into like a Disney anthem and this goes into Power Rangers. So okay, no, I'm gonna stop now.
Okay, sounds dramatic. I like it. Well, see, I was thinking about it because, I went to a Solve Along murder she wrote with a friend of mine. Shout out to Sasha Extravaganza, and basically at Prince Charles Cinema. So they basically do an episode of Murder, She Wrote, and they stop and start it, some interesting fun facts, and you then kind of, if you haven't seen it, you then kind of make a guess as to who the murderer is and what have you, and it was a really fun thing. But I feel like, and then sometimes I see things online, like on Reddit and stuff, where it's like, these are the films you must have seen to consider yourself insert here, you know, a geek or what have you. These are films you must like, and everything else is like, and why are you enjoying it, kind of thing. And it just started me thinking, especially as I'm getting older, I like what I like. I'm not saying there isn't shit. Uwe Boll is definitely an example of that. But I just feel like sometimes it gets very like, well, you can't like this and you can't, but you can like this. Do you get what I mean? Especially as you're making your way in that geek space. It's like, you can't like these things. Mm. But these ones you're allowed to like. Whereas, like, can't you just like the thing?
Like, back in the day, it's like, we've all reached a point where, like, I think, like I said, I think I brought up last episode where I was just like, I can't care, and if the films that a lot of people suggest that I should watch to be cast as an official geek or aficionado film buff or whatever, a lot of them are shit.
Yeah,
and no one has the balls to tell me that they're shit. Like, they're all right.
Controversial hot take: what in the top tier films that you think like count as you should have seen it? Which ones do you think are shit, and why?
I can't think of any at the top of my head.
I have got one.
Go on, big man.
It Follows.
Ooh.
For years, I've heard, if there's one horror film you gotta see, it's It Follows. This is next level. It will make you scream. It will make you... They hyped this film up, something chronic. I said, you know what? Let me watch this film. Darkened up the room, have a drink. The film started, the film finished. And I thought to myself, why have I just spent 1 hour 40 minutes here watching this pathetic piece of shit? Sorry for language. I despise this film. It was overrated. In fact, I remember actually I went on a rant with someone about this on Twitter not so a couple of years ago, where someone critical acclaimed saying, this is the best film. It will make Halloween, Hellraiser, all the classics look poor. And I said, don't get me wrong, everyone has their own opinion. I personally would rather watch Toilet Water, yeah, just going down the toilet than to rewatch that again. It didn't impress me. And then a person tried to come for me saying, oh, you ain't got any taste in films. I said, I can school you if you really want me to, but yet again, I'm not going to the whole toxic side. Everyone can have their own opinion. But for me, It Follows is top tier poo. My opinion, please come at me if you need to. But I just don't see anything great about it. I really don't.
I will say it's all right. Like, it's not like... I'm with you on that. It was really hyped up.
Really hyped.
And it was a subtle, slow burner. And it's all right. Like, actually, I'm not gonna get hate for this film. I'm probably gonna get hate. Witch or Vitch, or however you want to pronounce it.
Which one's that?
The two with.
It's the same guy who did The Lighthouse.
Yeah, I like The Lighthouse. Lighthouse is a good film, but say again?
So I still need to watch The Lighthouse. I didn't make it to that.
Yeah. But, yeah, Witch.
The Witch, you mean?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, I was like...
You know, I didn't mind that, but that's old folklore.
Yeah.
The original. It's not a horror. It's not a Scream-type film. It's just a tale that was told in old-school terms, slow burner. But I didn't mind it. It's not a film I would... easily drive to see someone if you want to watch something a must see, Dwarf the Witch. It's a good film, but overrated.
Yeah, for example, in the anime community, like right now, or even when it first came out, Attack on Titan. Oh my god, everyone was hyped. That anime brought a lot of new fans into the anime space. And like, coming when I was still working in my FP days, people would always go on about it. I watched it. I've seen better. I've seen better. It's really overrated. And like, everyone's gone on about this whole last season that's lasted forever. I don't care for it. There, I said it in the most polite way possible. There you go. I don't care for it. I just, there are better animes out there.
And that's the thing. The only other film I can say that annoyed me more than It Follows. Now, this film wasn't even hyped. And it's only because of the love I had for the original and the predecessor.
Oh, God.
I decided to go and watch this film. And I regretted it by the time the film was over. Was The Grudge remake.
Which one?
Not the Sharon Michelle Gellar one. You know the one that came...
Oh, but was that a remake? Because technically it was like a pseudo prequel sequel. I don't know.
The hell that was. But only thing I know, it was pain.
Go on.
When that film finished and the lights came on, I remember I jumped up and yelled, "Why'd they turn the lights on for?" Yeah, this film ain't over, and the credits were rolling. Weren't you being serious? I've just wasted 70 minutes of my life that I will never get back. I ain't felt like that since Deadpool Society. Yeah, I have not got my
time. Jesus Christ!
I have my time back for that, and I want it back. Dead Poets Society and K-Pax are two films. I want my time.
Okay, well, to be fair, I can't really like K-Pax anymore due to the current circumstances of a certain actor. Yeah. But bloody hell! I was going to say on the subject of that Grudge remake sequel, because like. It was weird because if I remember the start of it, it was the woman who was supposed to be, okay, so it starts off with the original girl who was supposed to be in that house in the first place, that the first girl in the first remake with Sarah Michelle Gellar was taking over for.
Oh my god.
So basically that girl you're following that girl who was the original girl who was supposed to be in the house in the first place, go from Japan to China to America, and brings back the curse with her. And it was a dumb film. I'm trying to explain it. Oh, fuck someone that film. Not allow it.
Someone wrote that.
Not allow it. Allow it. Carry on, sis. Let's go.
I'm going to say my one where it's like, because I get that, like, if you study film and stuff or look at television, you have these things that are like, these are the great things that are brilliant executions of these elements, or they're game changers. Like, ever since that, this has changed it forever. And it's almost like, my one, Texas Chainsaw Massacre. The original. Mm-hmm. Yeah, come for me.
I'm listening.
The original. I... know the notes, the beats that it hits. I've seen it because, you know, I remember like it was banned, and over here you couldn't see it because of the, you know, video nasties law, blah blah blah. And I watched it,
mm-hmm.
and was like, now I know thematically what's supposed to be happening. I kind of get it. I get this, I get that, I get why. And I just was like, this doesn't move me.
Mm.
But then some people, like, certain fans will be like, well, if you don't like it, you know, then can you really say you're into horror? It's like, yeah, I can actually. And another thing I'll give as an example to that is the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I love it, but I am fully aware that some of it is weak. But then also some of it has got better with time. So, like, it's basically my childhood and coming up, my teen years, really, is Nightmare on Elm Street. And I remember, like, the hype around, and I used to, any review show that had any of them on, I watched, you know, and I watched the first one, and it traumatized me. And some films do suffer, and some film and TV shows suffer, but you have to have been there at the time to get it. And when you remove it out of there, it becomes something else. And I remember, like, when Nightmare on Elm Street 2 came out, and people were like, oh no, it's trash, it's this. As time's gone on,
mm.
we've looked at it differently because of a lot of things that we didn't know at the time.
Yeah.
Like the fact that, you know, that Jesse was closeted, that Jesse, the actual guy who played him, sorry, I forget his name, was closeted. And wasn't out proud, so the director was kind of playing it through that lens of the gay gaze. And I'm not even making up. Literally, if you watch the documentary, which is really good,
but he didn't do it on purpose, though, isn't
it? He didn't do it on purpose. It was kind of an accident. It was kind of like feeling. And then there's a lot of kind of beats that hit about kind of signaling. It's almost like the film's telling the actor you need to come out. Because it's so, like, it quite, like, they literally have Robert Shay from New Line dressed up in S&M biker gear in a biker bar. And it's like, what? And it's, but you look back on it now and you're like, oh, like, it has all this kind of, like, this different meaning and stuff. And, like, especially, like, when it's, like, I think the bit that always strikes me now is when he goes to Grady. He's like, Grady, there's something inside of me. And it's and I can't control it. And that scene of when Freddy comes out of Jesse is a really good scene in terms of, like, effects. It's so good. And I remember feeling that kind of thing of, like, watching it and being really, like, confused by it, but liking Freddy and liking, but feeling very odd about it. But what was being said at the time was, like, we shouldn't really like this film because it's not as good as this one. And then it was kind of like, well, 3's all right. But I loved 3. The things 1, 2, and 3 are my favourites. 1, 2, 3, and nice to see Joey and King K come back, even though it was a little bit on Dream Master. And then it just gets chupped. And I really hate the last one, 7, but I like New Nightmare. That's my New Nightmare's my personal favourite as well.
New Nightmare 7, 6 you mean?
Sorry, 6 I meant, sorry. But yeah, New Nightmare, 1, 2, 3 and New Nightmare are my favourites. And it's like, as time's gone on, we look at that through a different lens. Like, now that, you know, Wes Craven, you know, may he rest, has passed, We look at New Nightmare, we go, oh, look at that with Scream, and you see like the buds of Scream that were in there.
Yeah.
You see what was trying to, you know, and it kind of fed other people, other ideas. So that's why sometimes I get really annoyed with this whole kind of, if you like film, you have to like, you know, if you like horror, you've got to like these ones. If you like this, you've got to like that. If you like this, you have to like that. And it's like, what if I just don't though? Or what if I appreciate technicality behind it, but I don't like it? It doesn't jive with me. Does that mean that I'm less of a fan?
No, I'm sorry, but I'm a firm believer in, one, you don't need to explain yourself to nothing or nobody. Mm. We live in a world, if you like what you like, then like it, learn to love it. We all can't be the same. Everyone can do what they want. And you ain't got to justify yourself. If you like crap, own it. No one ain't going to think any less. I mean, you have those snotty people who think, oh, well, if you don't like Avengers, then you're not part of the in crowd. Not everyone's going to like everything. That's why we're different. If we all were the same, we'd be pretty boring.
Like, here's a weird thing, that, and sometimes it's comfort as well. Mm. Some things just make me feel comforted. Do you know what I mean? They have good memories around it, or they just feel like a blanket. Like, here's my weird comfort movie. One of my weird comfort movies is
13 Ghosts.
That's not comfort. That's essential. That's life. Okay. Look, I'm not going to be sidetracked. I'm going to come back to 13 Ghosts and how awesome that is.
Steel Magnolias.
I love that too. And I'm not even ashamed of that. Here's my other comfort movie.
Howl of the Duck.
Long Kiss Goodnight.
No, I said comfort, not horror, bruv. Comfort. Not how to die.
Oh, my bad. Masters of the Universe. There you go.
That's a weird one because I don't like Tila. I don't know how to cast Tila. Still to this day, it bugs me. Because she's like an extra from Flashdance. Tell me I'm wrong.
I wouldn't say no.
I mean, none of you wouldn't say no, but I would say no. I'd say no.
More for me.
My comfort is A Caribbean Mystery, which is the Miss Marple they've got as an American on some unnamed Caribbean island with the most hideous, apparently allegedly Jamaican but not really Jamaican accents. No. And something about that film just honestly makes me feel pacified. I don't know what it is. I don't know why it is. Cause I know it's crap, but it's just like, yeah. I think it reminds me of my grandmother.
Mm.
So I think it just, and because and honestly, the woman in it reminds me of Miss Cleo. Carmino! Honestly, I'm gonna even try and see if I can find a snippet of it. But the woman who is literally like the servant is basically Carmino! It does come like Miss Cleo, and she looks a bit like her as well. Is she Miss Cleo? I don't know. But 13 Ghosts. Look, I will go to bat every day for 13 Ghosts. I think we talked about that time ago. Yeah. 13 Ghosts is me and Bruv's absolute favorite. I'm not even good because when people are like, it's not compelling. It's like, it's a story about trapping ghosts. I don't know what more you want from us. I really don't know what more you want from us. Also, have you seen the effects? Did you see the house? Did you see the house?
Did you see special features? The backstories on ghosts. The backstories on ghosts.
Bruv, you know how we feel about it.
That took us by surprise. And I didn't even know about it before I bought the DVD because I didn't even know. I just bought the film because I knew I liked the film. So
it's a beautiful treasure. It was that weird time in the 90s where they were redoing everything. Oh my. But then the worst one was the 2000s.
You can't still work on it. I was working at Odeon still. So yeah.
That weird time when they did the other ones, like House on Haunted Hill.
Oh, that film was terrible though.
Which one? Ghost Ship.
Only good thing was the first 5 minutes about
it. Was that a remake though? Was that a remake?
No, that was. You know what? I think it might. Because remember, there was that whole thing where they were redoing William Castle films. So I'm going to have to check that to see if that
already
was.
Already doing it.
Okay. Oh my God. Gabriel Byrne was in it?
Yeah,
he was. Yeah,
it's
he was.
Remake.
Yeah, it came out. The original came out in 1952.
Dude, yeah, it was a remake. So yeah, I think there's that whole thing of when they were redoing all these films. Oh my God, Robert Zemeckis produced that. Jesus. But once again, that had a very amazing intro of the first 10 minutes.
Mm.
Other than that, you know what? I actually can't remember that film.
I just remember someone just dropping down an elevator shaft.
It had to be the Black Man too. God almighty, my man. God, it was so dumb. God damn it. It's so dumb. My man tried to fuck a fucking ghost and he fucked. Oh, fuck.
I remember. Oh my God. I remember that. Oh, that's so embarrassing.
Yeah.
Oh my God. That was so shit. Oh, it was so shit. Carl Urban was in it?
Was he?
Yeah, he was. No one cared about Carl Urban back then.
Oh my God. That was so shit.
Another prime example of a film that was panned by many. loved by us.
Yeah.
Deep Rising.
Love it. But that's the thing, like, you know, I've got to say another pet hate, though.
There we go.
Like, I'm all for, like, saying you like what you like.
Mm-hmm.
However, if it's shit, it doesn't become Oscar-worthy just because you like it.
Mm.
Like, I like 13 Ghosts. You can tell me about, well, this doesn't make sense. But I'll go, yep, completely. He, great, completely. Yeah, acting, yep. But leave Rod Digger alone. Yep, it's fine. Cool. But don't then try and make it like, no. And that's what I don't like when people say, like, when they have a feel, we have a thing they like and they don't want to see the flaws in it. Because I'm like, the flaws make it. Like, Deep Rising, money. Oh, my. I still look. And I think, as we covered on previous episodes, diverse casting.
It really was.
It really was diverse casting. Like,
Jason coming up in this bitch, yeah.
Simon did not compromise on the accent. He left it as is. What's the guy who was the indigenous guy?
Finn Curtis. I forget his name. But yeah, he plays every... Oh, I love that man. He plays every nationality under the sun.
He's played every nationality so far.
Like, he barely plays his own. Probably. Yeah, you'll probably find something sooner or later.
I might find in the '80s once he was like an extra in King Willy's crew or something if I look hard enough.
I don't know who he is. I don't know where he is.
Predator 2 is another one. Predator 2.
Yep.
Okay.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Controversial take. There's somebody who actually thinks Predator 2 is better than Predator 1.
Okay, I wouldn't go that far. Is it Clint?
No, yeah. It's not Clint. It's someone Clint knows. I need to ask him. It sounds so dodgy, but I can't remember who it is. But he was talking, I'm just like, but when he broke it down, I was like, I kind of get what you mean. Because I think what we're saying is that, like, aside from the whole, like, especially in Predator 1, you know, the whole flinging, you know, everyone's flinging themselves at the screen, and all this shit. And it's kind of like, all right, okay. And then you get down to it. You get down to this, you know, this whole thing. And the ensemble's great, but it takes a while for it to get great. Whereas Danny Glover has presence pretty much from the time he's in there. And you're like, can't really argue with that. And his team are pretty tight. You're like, can't really argue with that. I was like, actually, and the more they were breaking it down, I think it's Paul who said it. But the more he was breaking it down, the more I was like, you know what? I think he's actually got a bit of a point. Because it's a faster moving movie. Obviously, because it's in the city, I guess. But I kind of got what he was saying. Do you get what I mean?
Mm.
I didn't find it disingenuous. That's what I mean. I don't find like he's trying to say what's not there, what like things that aren't there. Something about pacing, where things are, just the way it's executed. You get much more Predator time, and that's the thing too. It's like you actually do get more Predator time in two than you do in
that's
one.
That's true. That's true.
And I was like that, and you know, that's always well, a joy to
be, but, to be fair, you got to remember the first film was more. You didn't know what the Predator was until you actually finally saw it. And it was like what close to the end of the film, which was the whole point. You didn't know what was coming, so
yeah,
it makes more sense than. And by the sequels, you like you know what he looks like, so you know what to expect. So you know you can show him, like, look at me, hey, my face. I'm gonna kill you. Click the skull. It's mine now. Put it with the collection.
Polish it. You know, make it look nice.
I mean, yeah. Again, you kind of linked it to another one. I mean, this. After me, I do own these, and not because they're bad. Well, some people, they were panned, but for me, they were just brainless fun.
He's got enough.
AVP.
See, do you know what?
They're brainless films. It wasn't about even script or dialogue. I just want to see people get exploded and harsh killings. See, that's right up the street.
To be fair, I prefer like when it comes to the AVP films, I prefer Requiem because it was just
easily Requiem was better
because everyone was a dick and they most of them got killed. So it was quite entertaining to watch the dicks suffer. So
that's pleasure. That's pleasurable. That's what it's like.
So I was like, and like it had like the idea behind it was I thought was pretty decent, but like barring the Predalien,
the
idea that there was this kind of Black Ops Predator who's coming in to clean up the mess. I liked that idea, but it just wasn't executed well. It was really
the execution
was really bad, but.
Like another one I like personal, which I can always sit down and watch, Resident Evil, the original Resident Evil movie.
That wasn't bad.
I can always watch that because parts of it, I think I have good memories of it. It's always linked to bruv in you lot because I remember watching it and I remember just the bit with the lasers and bruv went, oh, you can't jump that. And for some reason, it just kills me every time.
But it could.
because he did that whole got up on the roof, my man's blood.
Colin Salmon, his character name was One as well, you know, like, yeah. And then I was like, oh, he's definitely not gonna be a sequel. But to be fair, he wasn't the one in the sequel, so I was wrong. So you know,
you're wrong, you're actually wrong. It turned out
like when it comes to Resident Evil films in general, like Resident Evil is probably my favorite franchise when it comes to gaming in general. So I wanted to do well regardless.
Yeah.
I will always have a love-hate relationship because the films are barely anything like the games. I mean, they have moments of them and they brought characters into them from the games, but all not its own thing. And I still can appreciate it for cheesy action, horror action. So I'm cool with that.
But the
most recent one, oh my fucking god.
Actually, I meant to ask you, as the Resident Evil aficionado of the crew, why do you think they keep failing?
Because they think they can do it better.
For lack of content. Because no, that's extensive.
Because I remember hearing an interview with the director, if you can call him that. I can't direct for who I know. But anyway, like he said he wanted to make it easier for fans to get it and for new people who've never seen the games or the film, whatever films, to get into it as well. But at the same time, he kind of didn't do that. He was like, he did a lot of good fan service, which I'll always give him credit for. But at the same time, he just ruined a lot of other characters. So like, Leon, one of my favorite characters. What the fuck was he about in the film? He was fucking awful. I wanted to beat the shit out of him. I think I could have beat the shit out of him. And that's not Leon. I think Leon can beat the shit out of me at the end of the day. So he should be able to beat the shit out of me. The casting choices are. I love Robbie O'Mell. He shouldn't have been Chris. He should have been technically Leon. The guy that got to play Wesker, should have been Chris, in all fairness. And he wasn't even like Wesker. He wasn't as Weasley. He was just, he looked confused all the time throughout the whole film. And it's like, that's not Wesker. Wesker knows what the fuck he's doing. This guy didn't know what the fuck he was doing. Like, I forget the actress's name who played Jill. She played...
Anyone as in Skins?
I haven't seen Skins, so I can't answer that question. She was in Ant-Man and Wasp. She was Cloak, not Cloak. She was Ghost. She was Ghost. She played Jill, which I'm cool because I think she's an awesome actress. Two, she is fit as fuck. And three, I can picture her kicking ass.
Yeah.
She barely had any screen time, barely had any dialogue, maybe one, two. There was a quite funny Jill Sandwich reference, but it was just, it was the problem they did, the main problem they did was try to put two films into one. Now, if you're going, like, because, like, they literally put one, Resident Evil 2 and 2 and 1 and made them into this mesh of bullshit, which didn't make any fucking sense. Now, if it was my choice, if it was my idea to make this into a film, would have done the first film straight up. Boom. First film done. Boom, boom. Second film, I would have made a mix-up of, I would have actually meshed 3 and 2 into one film. Because at the end of the day, they're basically set around the same time.
At this point, you
already know who Jill is because you're introducing her in the first film.
Yeah.
And then you introduce these new characters, Leon and Claire, and then you kind of learn more about them, but you have Claire in the background doing her thing. So and the CGI was shit. It was like we're in 2022. This one came out 2021. We have like, nah. Nah, there is no excuse for that shit quality. No excuse.
Yeah.
Fuck me, that film was so bad. I'm so pissed off.
Wow. Oh my God.
And it had really good actors, and it had and the casting, like, with all the misses, they had some good, like, they had some good people in it. I mean, like, Neil McDowell, like, playing the Birkin, the main bad guy. He's a fucking good actor. And he's a really good bad guy. And they, I don't know how you misuse him to make, like, it make, oh, just dumb. Just Do so you? Dumb.
See, I wonder if sometimes filmmakers have that disdain for, like, gaming and stuff. So when it comes to translate, they're like, when it's like, I don't know. I mean, I guess I'm asking.
I don't know if it's a disdain. It's just more like a superiority, I think, because it feels like, oh well, this. I mean, the script's already there. Like, don't get it twisted. Gaming as an industry is just as important as films. Completely. So, when you're doing an epic story, there are scripts, there are actors, there's everything under the bus that goes into it as the same as movies, if not more so. So I don't understand why they can't say, okay, this is the script we got here. I'm cool with you to change bits and pieces that make sense, but don't be dumb. You've got a set fan base right there who are waiting for something like this.
Mm.
And they're gonna support it regardless if it fails or if it succeeds. They're gonna support it regardless because they want to see the characters they fell in love with on the big screen portrayed truly and well. So get that fan base and get some more. And for example, here's a great example of mixing medias when it comes to gaming, novelizations, live action TV film. Witcher. Book series that became an amazing game series that became a pretty good TV series.
Yeah.
And it's, and like, for example, let's say, for example, okay, what's this game? Witcher. That's really good. Blah, blah, blah. Oh, it's based on a book. Let me go back and read the books. Yeah. Oh, what's this new TV series? Witcher. Yeah. Oh, it's really cool. Oh, it's based on the game, which is also based on the book. Let me go back and look into this thing.
It's like they keep feeding each other.
Exactly.
Feeding each other. And that's the thing. It's like, you know, it's fantasy. So some things are going to be able to flesh out things more and more and also involve you in different ways. That's why I like this kind of bringing in these different aspects because when I played, like, I only started playing from Witcher 3.
Same.
I think Hubs played from 2 and 1. I went on 3. I went on a journey. I was invested. I was like, I don't even, because I hadn't really played anything like, you know, I played games like that, but it's just not on a level of like, oh, like the Bloody Baron mission. I was like, oh, this is not happy. And then there's this bigger thing going on. And also that you're not guaranteed to get the same endings, that all these things change. And the characters are compelling and they've got this backstory. And I like in a way that Witcher 3 doesn't, it hints to some things, but it's like, if you want to find out, there's literally books and another game. I'm not going to explain it to you. It's like, fair enough, fine. I'll go and do it. Absolutely great. You know, the DLC for it is, oh my God, some of the best DLC going. And then when I sat down to watch, you know, to watch the series, you know, I had a little hope. I'm like, come on, you know, Camel's Geeky, come on. And to see bits that I hadn't seen as well from beyond the game, I was like, oh, like Blaviken. I was like, oh, right, okay. I thoroughly enjoyed it. I just enhanced it. And you can tell when they were doing it that they were mindful and respectful of what was going on in the games and the books. And when people were like, you missed out this, it's like, okay, look, seriously, some things have to be left out. It's the same thing you say to people like Lord of the Rings, or like Tom Bombadil's missing. I'm like, you know what? Do you really want this film to be another 3 hours? Because Bombadil and Goldberry and all of that stuff is a good hour and change. Do you really want poetry? Do you love it that hard? Because I'll be honest, I don't. And a lot of us are like, we're good without it. If you love it, there's a book. I mean, just read the book, right? But yeah, I do. I think I really get disappointed when people coming on to create stuff from video games, and it just seems so wet. Like, there's so many things that could, like, the thing I can hear from you, bruv, is like, this could have been this, this could have been that, but oh no. And it's like, why did you not? Why could you not be
up? So far, there's been one. Of recent time, there's only been one good gaming adaptation to film so far.
Which is?
Sonic.
Funny you should say that, because that's
what I've watched yet, actually. I need to watch it.
Sonic, you'll like it, sis, trust me.
Yeah. I went into that with no expectations, and I left with a beaming smile on my face with that film.
Yeah, I was pleasantly surprised, because I went in with no expectations, because I was like, I expected
that before.
Yeah, so I'm okay. I'm used to the pain now. It's cool. I can take a few punches, but I was like, Sonic, the guy that got to play do the Sonic voice was really good. Hard to believe, but James Marsters was really good as well.
It's Stingy, Joe Dowsey, wasn't it, from Park and Rec?
Your boy. and Jim Carrey was on form, and as he usually is. Jim Carrey, like, I don't think Jim Carrey gets enough love these days, but obviously he hasn't really done anything of recent. But he's still, when he's on point, he's on point. He's so good. And he was like, I was a bit dubious about him being Robotnik, but like, I was like, do you know what? Let's see. And yeah, it's Jim Carrey. He was making that character. He did it so well. But yeah, I'm actually looking forward to the sequel. I'm really looking forward to the sequel.
I'm already booked up. I don't care. I'm fully invested in the sequel. And funny enough, one of the reviews came out to it today, and this is even better than the first one. So
wow, that's mighty praise indeed.
Yeah, because I love the film poster for it, because it's
the game poster.
It's literally like, do you remember the Mega Drive cover for the game, sis, where it's like the two Robotnik in the background, Sonic and Tails on the front. Yeah,
I do.
The poster is legitly that, but with them, but obviously in the film form, and it's so good.
Oh my god.
Fair play to Sega as well, because they've done that well.
Mm-hmm.
And even to an extent as well, Enchanted, when you eventually get around to see that, that was done pretty well.
See what, sorry?
Idris is Knuckles?
Do you know? Oh, did you know?
No.
Yeah.
Where have I been? Well.
Do I look like I need your powers? No, I was like, yeah, go on, Idris, man.
Yes.
Go on, Echidna.
So, Uncharted, I was saying, the film adaptation from the game, not that bad by Sony.
And I'm not Uncharted. Obviously, Inside.
Uncharted.
Okay, I still need to see that. I do want to watch that. I love the Uncharted series, and I still have love for my boy Tom Holland. As long as a lot of people don't, but you know, I still love my boy. People go,
I think we call it the Jai Courtney pause, right?
Yeah, he's a new Jai Courtney, isn't he?
You know,
he has been there for a year. You know that, right?
You know, right? To be fair,
they're like collectibles.
No. Let him talk.
Actually, somewhat gotten a little bit less. I think the last Spider-Man film, I said, you know what? I'll give you your due. You act your ass off in that film. You did, and that's it. I'm not a massive Spider-Man fan, as everyone knows, but the fact that I was rooting for him. And I said, you actually made me a believer. I'll give you do. But prior to that, I just thought he was a punk bitch, yeah? And
that... oh, no. he built up like, yeah, but you know what? He's a punk bitch.
Like, you can hear, like, you know you hear his lips.
Punk yes.
Bitch. It's like, okay. God damn. You're right, big man. It's the Jai Courtney effect. He has to have one every year. Every year he's got to have one.
Look, Jai Courtney and Ethan Upton, he went full circle with the way his sublime performance in the recent Suicide Squad movie. James Gunn, I thank you for that. Yeah,
you're saying that because you killed him.
Yeah, you're damn right.
He almost had me.
Look, let me put it this way. I thought I lost my shit when in Endgame picked up Thor's hammer, yeah. But when Jai Courtney got taken out, I was popcorn got dashed in the air. I went, "This is it for me."
All right, time out, back up. Did you just compare the one of the biggest Marvel comic book event or film event in history to a man getting what?
Because you don't understand, bro. Right?
No, I understand. You have issues.
No. Right. Let me put it this way, yeah.
Oh, my hatred
for I can't even say his name for Courtney here is like the way he missed the name who I can't mention up on here, but you know what I'm talking about.
No, what
Mr. NC, you know who I'm talking about, bro.
Oh, date rapist. Oh, yeah, whatever.
Oh, yeah,
anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'm gonna say I called it. I don't give a shit. I called it. At least my man was proven to be a dirty shit, and I said it from day one. So you know.
I got it now. Ew. Okay.
Yeah.
Ew.
Yeah. So yeah.
I feel I fucking washed a shaft of that.
I was right.
You were right, bruv. You called it. You have two people. You called them. They're both trash. It's all good, but. Big man of Jai Courtney is.
I think Jai Courtney's a lovely guy. I got a feeling. I got a good feeling about that. I think he'd be good to go out and drinks with.
You put him next to Sam Walton here. Let's play spot the difference, yeah? Because there might as well be one person while I'm concerned.
But do you know, I was talking to one of my colleagues about this because that is the thing. It's the Sam Worthington experiment because, like, do you remember when you saw him everywhere? Like,
he sounds like a band, like an indie band.
Sam Worthington experience. Big Man's onto something because, like, literally, like,
that's true.
If you put Jai Courtney and Sam Worthington next to each other, what? I'm not, like, they're basically exactly the same person.
Yeah.
Both Australian, both generic white guys in very good shape, both traditionally handsome, I guess. But
this happens in different years at different points with different people. Remember at one point they there was a whole thing where you had people who looked a little bit like Christian Slater, a little bit like Steve Guttenberg, who were just in things. Girls who looked exactly like there was a whole Michelle Gellar's phase. We've just come through the whole Samara Weaving looking like thing. It looks like four of them that looked like they were all cloned.
Yeah, there were a lot of her.
What's the other one? What's the name for Suicide Squad?
Margot Robbie. Yeah, because her, Emma Roberts, Samira, they kind of blend to one. Yeah, especially when Emma Roberts was blonde. I was like, yeah, that's, yep. that, yeah,
They all blend. You're not sure who's in what. Then you have ones that then had like the Kirsten Dunst one where everyone looked like Kirsten Dunst at one point. And then they just find, and then it then gets quirky. And then they allow people of color to come in and do some stuff. And then they do it again. There's always a dude that's like that, like a mediocre. We never really hit the levels of like being, you know, well known. But
they tried.
Maximum effort was put into that Bray's career, yeah, and it barely flopped. Yeah.
It reminded me of Mean Girls. Stop trying to make Sam Worthington happen. It's literally like but that happens. There's like a set of actors and actresses that always end up being that thing where they get pushed into everything and you're just like like McConaughey went through that. We had a McConaughey where we used
he was that generic rom-com guy, and after a while it's like holy shit, he can act. Maybe we should actually put him in some films where he actually can show his skills for a change, instead of being that generic white guy who needs to show girls that he can change and be the better man for them.
Oh, bruv.
Oh, you always have. Oh.
Never forget.
Nothing but love for you, McConaughey. Nothing but love. Yes.
That's a great session and a half. On that note, I think that's a really good place to end. And brother, if you don't find that noise, we'll put it at the end of this episode. This is Mr.
I will find it. I will do it.
If you don't know what we're talking about,
don't worry. You'll hear it. I'll put it at the beginning and the end of the short episode. You'll see.
Yes.
and when you come full circle, you understand what we're talking about. Like,
exactly. Hunt through our other episodes to find out more. Thank you for lending us your ears for us to rant into the abyss about the things that get under our skin. Obviously, you know. We couldn't do an episode without talking about Sam Worthington and Jai Courtney. But you know how that stuff goes with us. But thank you very much for your time.
Rest in peace, Jai Courtney. Love you, man. Oh, Sam Worthington.
Pull your liquor out for the homie. Rest in peace,
Sam Worthington. Jai Courtney, wherever you are. Hope you're up there celebrating with... Okay, I know they're not dead, but their careers are, I'm just saying... I mean, like, let's be honest. Sam Worthington's not going to be acting until they actually do the Avatar sequel, whatever that's going to happen. And Jai Courtney is dead, so it's like that.
Actually, you saying that, side note, the Avatar trailer is allegedly coming out when you see Doctor Strange.
Anyway, on that note...
That silence was the sound of it. No one cares.
On that note, if you'd like to email us, you can get in contact with sentjuicevendors@gmail.com, or you can find us on Instagram @messeduppod and on Twitter @andmessed. Big man, what's your socials?
You can find me on Twitter @war3782 and on the gram @mr_roberts_v1.
Or email @sam.worthington@gmail.com.
And fuckjarcorny.com. And so, how about you, bro?
You can find me on YouTube under Instant Classic Gaming, where I'm doing a lot of different content for gaming, like in Elden Ring, That Takes Two, and a few other things. You can also find me on TikTok, Twitch and Instagram under InstantClassic_gaming.
Check it out, some good stuff on there, and sometimes I turn up. Thank you very much for listening, and take care, stay safe, and we will speak to you next time.
And again, rest in peace, Sam Worthington and Jai Courtney. Nothing but love for you.
Steve Gutenberg.
I will remember you.
Later.
And that's why we're messed up. Produced by the St. Jude's Avengers, edited by Instant Classic Gaming, and music produced by Box Room Music.
Hold up. Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.